Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck. He's Clay. We are going to tell you all about what's happening today in Cuba. These protests exploding, continuing on now, and the way the Democrats are reacting to it, and some activists are reacting to it as well. Plus, we've got more on the budget deal, trillions of dollars to be spent, and also a Trojan horse on the policy front to get thrown in the mix. Amnesty. Is amnesty a budgetary matter? We will address this in just a little bit. So first, let's start, if we can, with what's happening right now in Cuba, the situation unfolding there. The administration, the Biden administration, is having a moment of, oh, gosh, we might have to make a decision. And here is Jen Psaki being asked, representing President Biden in the White House, do you condemn communism? I mean, can we all just start with some first principles or some basic truths here? Communism is bad if you're an American.
People are leaving Cuba because they don't like communism?
I think we've been pretty clear that we think people are leaving Cuba or not leaving Cuba or protesting in the streets all as well because they are opposed to the oppression, to the mismanagement of the government in the country. And we certainly support their right to protest. We support their efforts to speak out against their treatment in Cuba.
Clay, how about communism is antithetical to American values, has resulted in the immiseration of entire generations around the globe, millions murdered, hundreds of millions impoverished. Yeah, we, the Democrat Party of America that claims capitalism is something we still believe in, agree that commies don't have the right idea. Is that hard to say?
It is wild that she couldn't, Buck, just come out and say communism is bad. That's all she had to say. We believe that based on a long litany of historical evidence that communism fails, that it dehumanizes people, that it doesn't allow them to embrace basic human rights. It's like our entire struggle against the Soviet Union didn't exist. I can't believe that someone who is paid to speak, that is her entire job, she's paid to speak on her feet, that she can't simply say, yes, communism is bad. And look, this sounds ridiculous, but the reason why she can't say it is because she's probably nervous that she's going to alienate the left-wing base of her party by criticizing what's going on in Cuba, which is and brings us to why Black Lives Matter is such a fundamentally anti-American group. They put out a statement that did not condemn the Cuban government at all, Buck. They blamed the United States government for the protests that are going on in Cuba. And I know we talk about this, and I hope our show is going to start to have some impact in this front. I know that everybody is terrified of being called racist, but when Black Lives Matter puts out a statement this insanely dumb, you have to call them out no matter what their race is. You can't blame the United States for what's going on in Cuba and defend the Cuban government in the process. This is what the Colin Kaepernicks and the kneelers and the protesters ultimately are supporting. Black Lives Matter is, and I'm trying to be careful here because we got FCC restrictions, completely full of crap on this and most issues in which they attach their name.
What else would we expect from an organization that convinced large swaths of the country that defunding police was anything other than a completely insane, reckless, dangerous idea? To the statement that BLM put out, we have it here, and this immediately set alight social media. Everybody was definitely paying close attention to this one. I'm not gonna read the whole thing because Clay gave a good outline. It's basically, it's all America's fault. yay, commies, down with America. But here's some of the basics. Black Lives Matter, they write, condemns the U.S. federal government's inhumane treatment of Cubans and urges it to immediately lift the economic embargo. This cruel and inhumane, again, policy instituted with the explicit intention of destabilizing the country and undermining Cubans' right to choose their own government is at the heart of Cuba's current crisis. And then they go into since 1962, et cetera, et cetera. Clay, we could take a few pieces of this. First of all, Cubans don't get to choose their own government right now. So this idea that the problem here is the lack of democracy because of the U.S. diplomatic freeze or long-term embargo of Cuba is just crazy. I mean, it's just ahistorical, counterfactual absurdity. But hey, corporations love BLM, so they get away with
a lot. They're afraid. There are so many people afraid that the Democratic parties, which their entire basis for existence right now, I mean, Buck, this is it. Their entire governing philosophy, their entire reason to exist is to say everything is racist. That's basically the Democratic Party right now. And even Black Lives Matter, which exists to say everything is racist, the United States is systemically racist, the 1619 Project, which is founded on a basis of lies. People are afraid to point out the truth, many people, Buck, because they are afraid they will be called racist. And so Black Lives Matter trots out this absolute garbage. And the Democratic Party pretends it doesn't exist. Just like, by the way, this is not new for Black Lives Matter. They had their mission statement up on the website. And they said their goal was to dismantle the nuclear family. Your goal is to stop moms and dads from raising children? The most successful framework that has been proven throughout centuries to yield the best results for children all around the world of all races is to have two parents in their home. Now, I'm sure there are some people who are listening, so I want to be clear. If you're divorced or you are a single parent, it doesn't mean that you can't do a good job as a parent, right? It just means that statistically, the best possible formation of young children occurs in nuclear families with two-parent households. And Black Lives Matter said they're trying to basically dismantle Western civilization, Buck, because too much of Western civilization was white guys. It's all madness. I mean, the idea, the reason why Western civilization exists is because we all build on the best creations. This gets into all the madness of assimilating and cultural assimilation and everything else. This stuff doesn't exist. It's just all made up. And Black Lives Matter should be, and I actually say positively here at least, they're getting ridiculed absolutely for this statement that they put out supporting the Cuban government.
There's also a component of this that would seem to be people don't want to see what the real power structure is in America, particularly those at the very top of it. I mean, this is in effect why someone like Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer, but Pelosi specifically, a person who is worth somewhere in the $50 million plus range, lives in a mansion in San Francisco, has a staff and has servants and have people doing everything for her all the time, will not release her grip even at the age of whatever, 80, I think?
Nearly
80. 78, 79. Will not release her grip on power. It's so much easier for the Democrat elites to put up a BLM square on their Instagram for major corporations, including those that do business with China or that outsource American jobs to other countries, to pretend to be righteous because they stand with the BLM movement. So in a sense, it's like wokeness insurance. If you promote this stuff, if you say you like BLM and the movement thereof, you are less likely to not only get called out for being racist, which you and I talk about a lot, but also to have people start to ask questions like, what is the Democrat Party really doing for working people in America today when it comes to jobs, when it comes to wages? What does illegal immigration do to people who are making their way up the wage scale? What does it do to have greater competition from people that are going to take less wages and often be paid off the books entirely? The answer is it does not help the very people that the Democrats claim to be all about. The elites get away with playing the game their way while they act like BLM is so important to them. And I'll just say, this is not surprising at all that their BLM is expressing solidarity with what's going on with the Cuban regime, not the Cuban people in the streets. You know, for a movement that's all about protests and struggle and even riots, they're not pro-riot all of a sudden. They're anti-U.S., which in effect means they're on the side of Diaz-Canel and the skull-crushing, boot-heel-on-the-throat totalitarians of the prison state that is the Cuban island under the communists.
And that is the organization that we have been begging for their support. And by we, I mean major corporations all over this country. They've been donating money to. They have been supporting. Every place that you probably ever have bought anything from has sent you out a BLM email. The last year, my wife is making fun of the ridiculousness of all the emails, the corporate emails now that we get that are super woke, that endorse. Like, you bought, like my wife was saying, hey, we just bought, you know, a couch. I don't really care what the couch manufacturer thinks about COVID or BLM or
Clay,
any kind of corporate woke politics.
You don't
right
want to sit on an oppressive couch.
I mean, it's crazy, right? People know what I'm talking about. You're getting emails from every, like the least, I'm trying to think, what is the brand out there that is the least corporate imaginable and political? And suddenly you got to hear from everybody.
While the Democrats are dithering, which is exactly what we predicted and have been talking about all week, there's one governor, Clay. He's a guy who gets a fair amount of shout outs here on the show. A governor who has an idea, an interesting one that he's pursuing to possibly help the protesters in Cuba. We can get into that. And then also we got to start talking. At what point is the spending so out of control that nobody can ignore it anymore? But we'll get there. First, you know, these days we're fortunate to be seeing home loan options with rates in the twos. Now, Clay and I have said it before and we'll say it again. Those kind of rates can make a big difference. I mean, you can lower your monthly payments substantially and spend less over your loan term.
Yeah, we're talking about potentially saving $1,000 a month. Think about how much of a difference that could make. No upfront hidden fees, no pressure. Just have a conversation with our friends at American Financing and find out how much money you could be saving. You like what you hear? They'll pre-qualify you for free, and you may be able to postpone two mortgage payments. So what are you waiting for? Put your financial house in order as we get ready for summer to continue to roll. You can call 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109 or visit AmericanFinancing.net, American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. We're talking about Black Lives Matter and the lies that they are telling about Cuba. Wanted to give a shout out here to Marco Rubio, who I thought really kind of summed it up pretty well. Buck, he tweeted out, Senator from Florida, the extortionist ring known as the Black Lives Matter organization took a break today from shaking down corporations for millions and buying themselves mansions to share their support for the communist regime in Cuba. That's pretty succinctly said. I give him credit.
I got to tell you, you get Republicans in Florida when it comes to Cuba and the Castroite tyrants. They go all in, man. This is Rubio's finest moments are on Cuba. Ted Cruz, good on Cuba too. He's obviously a Texas Republican, but Governor Ron DeSantis, as we mentioned as well, has got this idea. I mean, Clay, what do you think about this? He wants to have U.S. firms. He brought this up at a roundtable earlier this week to beam the internet to Cubans via satellite, essentially keep the comms going. Keep the pressure on by letting the world and their fellow Cubans be able to, one, coordinate and also share with the rest of the world what they're seeing there. This reminds me back in 2009 when in the early days of the Obama administration, actually, there was some State Department folks who tried to get Twitter to keep not go down for maintenance so that they could continue. Now, that was a minor thing, and I think it was a little bit of showboating by a few State Department people, but it was an idea, at least, that they tried to
get Twitter. The idea was
Obama.
In Iran, they wanted people to still be able to communicate as they were trying to rise up against that Iranian government.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't work, but it was, you know, they tried something. On this one, Cuba, as you pointed out, so close to the U.S., that there's got to be influence stuff that we can do here at a minimum. And just the fact the Biden administration hasn't stood up and said, we will hold any regime officials guilty of human rights violations, any police chiefs, anybody who cracks down on protesters, you're going to set foot on U.S. soil in 5 years. We're going to lock you up in federal prison. I mean,
I love this idea. I you're right. Biden has been too weak on Cuba, but I give credit. We just said to Marco Rubio, but I love the idea from Ron DeSantis, because for people out there who are saying, well, why would this matter? Right now, Cuba has shut down internet access to people in their country to try to prevent imagery of protests and videos and everything else from being able to be shared around the world,
right,
which is a common move by totalitarian governments.
And it just means the brutality factor is going to go up considerably, because now they're going to pull people in broad. I mean, they're already doing this, of course, but when people see these things, it leaves a much more lasting impression, right? You read about people being taken off the streets from their family by Cuban thugs for the regime. You remember what's going on. But when you hear the screams and see the video, there's that visceral connection to it. And that's what the regime at all costs, because they're still acting like these are American backed, insurrectionists,
which is what BLM is saying. They have the same talking points as BLM, the Cuban government, and BLM. And also, Buck, to your point, it's not only about being able to share what's going on in Cuba in the real world. It's also about Cubans being able to see that there is massive support for what they are doing from the United States, right? From their friends and family all over the state of Florida, where protests have broken out in favor of the Cuban protesters, where we actually have freedom here. That's an important aspect of this, too, that symbiosis.
And Cuba has also always just been a place where Americans who betray their country will flee, people that murder cops. I mean, remember, Assata Shakur was serving a life sentence for murder. She went down to Cuba, was granted murder of a police officer, granted political asylum. I mean, this, Cuba is basically like whatever they can do to agitate the United States government, they'll do. So the fact that you don't have Democrats recognizing what's really going on here and instead trying to pander to the far left BLM Marxist base shows you who's really calling the shots in that party, Clay.
Yeah, there's no doubt at all. And I mean, again, you can't condemn communism. That's a pretty easy line, I would think, for everybody to be able to condemn. You know, it's the opposite of condemning something, praising it. And that's what I'm going to do with our guy, Mike Lindell. All over my house right now, Buck, I have got incredible products, pillows, sheets, shoes, you name it. We have got it all throughout the house, kids' beds, my bed, all of our guest bedrooms, everything else. Mike Lindell has got us hooked up. And right now, one of our favorites, the Giza Dream Sheets. They are amazing, ultra soft, breathable, extremely durable. They're on all of my beds. And right now, the Giza Dream Sheets are just at right now a 2-for-1 low price plus free shipping. Promo code Clay and Buck, all my pillow products. They come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Put your money where your mouth is and support Mike Lindell. Keep him from getting canceled by going to MyPillow.com. Click on the new radio listener specials to check out this low price offer on the Giza Dream Sheets. You'll find deep discounts on other MyPillow products as well. All you have to do is enter the promo code Clay and Buck or call 800-792-3269.
James Golden here, host of the podcast series Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. There's a new episode now available sharing the details of how the Limbaugh Letter publication came to be. Listen to the entire series wherever you listen to podcasts. MyPillow and Tunnel to Towers Foundation are both sponsors.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck, talking with my friend Clay and all of you. And we're about to get some of your calls, speaking of which, on Cuba and on corporatism and other things. Also, just want to make sure everyone knows that they should subscribe to the Clay and Buck podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's rocket up those rankings and beat NPR, darn it. We're not going to give up until we actually overtake them.
We're gonna catch them at some point. I'm looking right now, and who knows what the formula is exactly, but we basically stick right around the top five all the time, Buck. Always in the top 10. I haven't seen us outside of the top 10 for news programming shows. And obviously, this is the biggest radio show in terms of terrestrial radio anywhere in the country. But we appreciate all the support we've seen on the podcast. I mean, the millions and millions of people downloading.
I love how Clay's like, yeah, NBD, biggest biggest terrestrial. You know.
I mean, it's true. I mean, we appreciate all you out there. It's the biggest show.
It is. It is indeed.
Radio.
It's fun. It's fun to have the biggest show. So I want to get to the call. I just want to tell everybody also, I have a thesis. I have to keep running it by Clay, which is that I actually think the Democrat Party, it's a combination of Trump plus the pandemic. Like, I think they've had a collective nervous breakdown. That's where I actually think the heart and soul of the Democrat Party today is they're going through a real episode where they would, if they were a person, they would need substantial professional help. But I think this is actually a political party in this country. And I'll make my case to you as to why in a moment. But we did want to get to some calls here. And first up, we have Jesse in Spring, Texas. Hey, Jesse.
Hello. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. And congratulations on the success of your program. I hope it continues to grow and do better and better.
Thank you.
And the reason for my call is when we were talking about Cuba a little bit earlier in terms of what the Cuban government is doing to silence people's voices. And I just wanted to remind everybody that that's what's going on here in America already with big tech, with the media, the public in general, with the exception of programs like yours and a few others, are getting one side of the story, and it's a very twisted side. And many Americans are falling for that and buying into that. And I just think that we've already got that problem that Cuba's having. I really feel for the Cuban people, by the way. I can only imagine what they're going through. But I can foresee that the beginnings of that has already happened here in America and is going to continue if we don't keep fighting the good fight.
This is a good point. And this is what I said when Donald Trump filed his lawsuit against the big tech companies. And I said it on Tucker the other night, and I don't think very many people have recognized it. I think it's an important point. What we do right now, what is occurring in our country, is not much different than China or Cuba to a certain extent. Let me explain what I mean by that. When in Cuba or China, they shut down the internet to disallow the people to see what is going on, that is, I think most people are shocked and stunned by it. But when our government is colluding with big tech companies to determine what can be said about COVID on Facebook, when Anthony Fauci and Mark Zuckerberg are emailing back and forth about what is acceptable and unacceptable, when Jack Dorsey is shutting down the New York Post and also kicking Donald Trump off of their platforms, we are effectively getting state action through big tech companies in a way, Buck, that I think a lot of people kind of can't think about it, but this is unprecedented, the scope of power over what the American people see. And that's one reason that you and I were so excited to get this radio show, because right now we can talk directly to the masses in a way that I don't think, candidly, you can be comfortable you're going to be able to do on the internet.
Yeah, as long as those radio signals are out there, people get to listen. It goes out, right? There's not some filtration algorithm, and there's certainly not some ability to shut it down without us knowing about it. Jesse, thank you for calling in from Spring, Texas. And I, you know, I've been telling everybody, Clay, the near total information space dominance that the Democrats managed to acquire, well, I would say had for this from the 60s all the way until the 1990s with the rise of talk radio, with Rush's program, and with the internet, the Drudge Report, and Fox News. They've re-achieved a large portion of that with digital platform dominance. And yes, there are conservative websites out there, but those conservative websites rely on advertising controlled by Google. Yes, there are conservative websites out there, but they rely on search engine optimization. They rely on people being able to find them when they look up a story. So there are a lot of ways. It's kind of like you could have a store, so to speak, but in the internet world, the libs can make sure your store can't get supplies, no roads go to your store, your electricity, your water gets turned off. But you can have your store. That's what it's like being in conservative media these days.
I can speak to this as someone who built a $100 million media business on the internet primarily. Facebook has the ability, and they would regularly do this to us. And I testified about this in front of the House subcommittee on the judiciary. And what they would do, Buck, is when they don't like a story, they basically, at Facebook, destroy your traffic. We linked back in the COVID days to the CDC website. And the headline, which was directly linked to the CDC website, was determined to be factually inaccurate by Facebook. And we appealed and we said, wait a minute, we're linking directly to language on the CDC website. The fact checkers at Facebook dinged us. And for 2 weeks, you couldn't find OutKick articles on Facebook. And every company out there that is trying to be honest with their audience on a day-to-day basis has stories like these for Facebook, for Twitter, for Instagram, for Amazon, for Google. All of these major tech companies are making choices from a content perspective, and they are pretending that they are not, and it is destroying the free flow of information in this country.
Andreas in Miami, Florida. Welcome to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. What's up?
Clay and Buck, pleasure to speak with you guys. I love the tag team approach. I've been in this country since 1966. My family came here from Cuba. The last 55 years, I lived 44 years here in Miami. And you mentioned something about the BLM comment about the U.S.-Cuban embargo is a cause of the misery of the Cuban people. I can tell you, take it to the bank. That is take to the bank statement of anyone or any organization that is a communist or a socialist supporter. Take it to the bank. That is guaranteed. That's who these people are. That's the call of the Glovers of the world and the Sean Penns and the Martin Sheens. Just use the excuse to show the misery of what communism and socialism does to people.
I mean, Andreas, I could tell you this in the Israeli-Palestinian issue, for example. If you want to be a leftist in good standing, all you have to do, if you just say the word settlement, you think that you know what you're talking about and the argument is over. And you're also signaling to everybody what side of it you're on. You're like, oh, it's about this. All the problems are about the Israeli settlements, right? That's what leftists do. It's true on the Cuba issue as well. Criticizing the embargo. It's not a blockade, which would mean that we stop anything from going into Cuba. Cuba gets assistance and does trade with other countries. We just don't trade with Cuba, which is completely within the purview and the rights of the United States government and its people. So I'm with you on that. Gladys in Miami, Florida. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. First time caller, long time listener to the Limbaugh show.
Yes. Thank you, Gladys.
Okay. So, first of all, I want to thank you guys for all that you do. I listen to you every day, and so I am very happy to be able to be on the air so I can express, as a Cuban American, having come to this country in 1948, I came way before Fidel. I am asking for the American people to understand that we need the internet in Cuba so that the world can see the brutality of what is going on in the country. The second is that I am asking that there would be an international blockade. Just like you said a moment ago, we need an international blockade, because once the blockade is international and nothing comes in and nothing comes out, they will be strangled. It's like my commissioner said, you have to cut the snake at the head so that this will not continue.
All right, Gladys, thank you. Blockade would be an escalation, that's for sure. You got to remember, Clay, we can get back into this in a second, but a lot of Europeans, it's been a trendy thing for Europeans to go to Cuba and, you know, it's so cheap and it's so interesting for them to go to Cuba. Well, they're putting money directly in the pockets of the regime when they do that. It's all owned. All these tourist sites are owned by the military communist complex in Cuba. But we can come back into this. And also, I want to test my thesis, and Clay and I are going to dive into it. Has the Democrat Party just completely gone crazy because of what's happened in recent years? But, you know, if I could save you money, folks, if I could save you money right now by giving you the exact same service you're currently paying for, right? If I said, oh, you know, your cable bill, I could save you $800 a year. Same channels, though, same everything. You would switch, right? Well, we can do that for you with your cell phone service, something that you all have, you all need. We can save you up to $800 a year just by switching to Pure Talk from your current carrier. Here's how. The big wireless cell phone providers charge you for a lot of stuff you don't need. Data you never use, perks you don't even know you have. Why pay for that stuff? Pure Talk gives you the exact same great coverage, but only charges you for what you need. And that's why Clay and I are customers.
No doubt. Whether it's AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, your family could easily save over $800 a year just by switching to Pure Talk. It's an incredible value. You get unlimited talk, text, plus 6 gigs of data, all for just $30 a month. How do you get it? From your cell phone right now. It's simple. Dial #250, that's #250, and say Pure Talk, and you'll get 50% off your first month. Again, #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk, and you will be saving a bundle. Do it today.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Lines open, 800-282-2882. That's 800-282-2882. Plus, follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of it. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. Clay, I just wanted to throw this your way. There's a call now from the Biden administration, from Secretary of State Blinken, who has a very fancy resume. He is asking for UN experts on racism to visit the UN to combat racial injustice. This is a real thing. We need UN racism experts to tell us how racist America is.
It is such a cardinal flaw to even suggest that the United States is anything other than. If you look at the history of almost any nation in the world, I'm not sure you can point to any nation in the world that has a better record of race relations than the United States. I mean, we don't talk enough about this, Buck. I mean, first of all, this is a ridiculous idea, right? But the Olympics are going to be in Japan next week, right? It's impossible to become a Japanese citizen. It's almost impossible to become a Chinese citizen. You can cross the border if you're pregnant, and if you have a baby here, you're an American citizen. It doesn't matter what your race is, your ethnicity, your religion. The openness of America to people who look different and come from all over the world in terms of immigration is without parallel virtually anywhere in the history of the world. And this constant self-flagellation, let's be honest about what it is, that is designed to destroy America from the inner workings of all things, the UN, which is got all sorts of member states which are filled with rank racism and hypocrisy, like China, which is one of the most racist countries in the world. The idea that we're going to allow them to lecture us is just emblematic of this fetal position wimpiness that characterizes so much of the left wing in this country today. They're unwilling to stand up for American exceptionalism on any level.
Exceptionalism. They think that we're the opposite worst of exceptional. Yes. Yeah, whatever that is, that's how they view it. There are so many leftists who find it fashionable to trash America and have for a very, very long time. And this is why on the international stage you have leftists that will go along with, to the degree they can, any regime that is anti-U.S. And they'll ignore, for example, how many people even know that in a country like Cuba, there was longstanding slavery? Do you think that the Cuban regime sits around doing critical race theory studies in school? No, they're brainwashing kids, whoever is allowed to go to school, into communism. But when you look at the history of the world, when it comes to race relations, when it comes to where slavery has been practiced, slavery is still practiced today in some parts of the world, which often does not get talked about. I mean, if you go to some areas of, yes, the Muslim world, there is still something that is effectively the same thing as slavery. Go to parts of the Sudan, there are still slavery that is in practice. The UN lecturing us on anything is just too much to bear without at least saying what the heck is going on. That's where I am.
I am of the opinion, we talked about this, and it won't get discussed at all because of the 1619 Project and critical race theory and the idea that America is systemically racist, but only 4% of African slaves ended up in the United States. I know for many people out there listening, because of the centrality of the 1619 Project and the anti-American history, Slavery obviously is a stain on the world as a whole, and it existed everywhere. But only 4% of the slaves that were brought from Africa during the during that era of slavery, and by the way, there was slavery everywhere, as Buck just mentioned. There was throughout the Crusades. I mean, the entire Roman Empire was founded on slavery. Everything in American history and world history involves in some way slavery. But only 4% of African slaves came here. And again, I keep hammering on this because I think it's significant from a historical perspective, Buck. The 1619 Project, we were colonies. If you're angry about slavery in America, most of your anger should be directed towards Great Britain, because Great Britain was who was in charge of American slavery for
what
most
about
of our history.
What about Portugal and Brazil? What about, oh, I mean, look at all these. You want to see really awful, I mean, and when I say it's all awful, but the worst degree of awful colonial behavior, look up King Leopold and the Congo region of Africa. He was Belgian, folks. I assure you, the Belgians aren't all walking around crying about how awful and he was. I mean, you got to read the stories. I can't even talk about it on the radio. Anyway,
he was the worst.
Go ahead, Clay.
He was the absolute worst. When we come back, you know what also is the absolute worst, Buck? The way that we are responding to COVID. And I know that this story just will not go away, but there are a couple of crazy stories surrounding COVID that we need to dive into, particularly all the overdose deaths that occurred because of our disastrous response to COVID. We'll dive into that. We'll also talk about natural immunity and why it may be better than vaccinated immunity. All that's still to come. Hour two, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.